Bibles to Romans chapter 10. I'd like to say we appreciate your giving. May God richly bless you. I know that you can't outgive God and that God will bless you. Amen. But we appreciate it very much. This morning I'd like to preach from Romans 10, verses 13 through 15. I'd like to preach on the subject, your role in missions. I believe when we're in the church, we come to church, one of the main purposes is to learn our roles in life. We learn our role as men, as husbands, and as fathers, and women as wives, as mothers, and different roles we're to play in the church. But I'd like to speak to us this morning on our roles that each and every one of us have in missions. Romans 10, verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people that are gathered together faithfully this morning. I pray, God, that you'll anoint me with your Spirit and anoint each ear to hear what the Spirit would say to us today concerning lost souls. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Your role in missions. In the mid-80s, while I was on an itineration trip, kind of like right now, and after missionary service, while I was in Alabama, an older gentleman came up to me and told me, said, "Son, you don't need to go across the seas." He said, "We got plenty of sinners right here." Now, I agree with him. There's plenty of sinners down in Alabama. You know, there's plenty of sinners down in East Texas, too. I don't know about here. I'd say there is, too. Well, I was driving through Lebanon last night. I knew there was plenty of sinners here. A fella drove up next to me, and I had to roll the windows up real quick because he had the rock and roll going on and smoking a cigarette. So I know that there's plenty of sinners here, too. But just because there's plenty of sinners here does not excuse us from our responsibility to world evangelism. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Not just the sinners in Alabama, not just the sinners in East Texas or in Southern Ohio, but the church has a responsibility to get the gospel into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I know that that isn't possible for every one of us to go to every place in the world and preach the gospel to every living soul on this earth. But for the overall plan of God to be fulfilled, God has a role for each and every one of us to play if the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be fulfilled. Oswald Chambers said, "The supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the world." We don't need to forget that. We've got to keep that as our target.
You're right.
The very first words that Jesus told to Peter was, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men." The last words he said whenever he left was, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," whenever he ascended to heaven. So it was important to Jesus that we would be salt in this world, that we would be a light to this world, that we would support missions, that we would be a missionary in this world. Amen. Jesus came to this world as a missionary. Amen. To win men and women to God, that they would repent of their sins and be born into the kingdom of God. And that's our purpose for being left here. Amen. It's wonderful to be refilled, to be filled and refilled with the glory of God, with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And to enjoy the blessing of the Lord. And we are joyful people because we're Christians. But we need to share this joy. As Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." Amen. I believe that every one of us have a role to play. And I'm mainly speaking on foreign missions, on world missions. But I believe every one of us have a role to play in the overall plan of God of evangelization of the world. For this great commission to be fulfilled, first of all, some must go to the field. The Bible says here, how then shall they hear without a preacher? The fact is, if a preacher does not go, then they will die lost without the gospel. Uh-huh. Amen. That's God's plan, is for you and I to fulfill our responsibility. Do you know at Judgment Day there will be many people who stand before God with blood on their hands? Yes. Amen. We have to fulfill our role, the responsibility that God has given us. Amen. If we're not going to stand before God with blood on our hands, Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38 says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." The field is the world. There's a great harvest to harvest today. I remember when I was in OBI, Sister Barnes, who was a missionary in the Philippines, the mother of my brother-in-law, David Barnes, and his dad, her husband was killed over in the Philippines. But she told us that the greatest opportunities for young people was in world missions. And I believe it today. There's a great opportunity. There are many ministers, and I'm not throwing off a minister, but there are many who are waiting around till a pulpit opens in the church so they can pastor the church whenever there's a field, there's a harvest field, a world out there waiting that's dying lost without the gospel. Amen. We've got, some people have to go. I know most of you love Southern Ohio or you wouldn't be here. It's a beautiful part of the country. I really enjoy your weather up here. But you know, just as much as you love it, I love East Texas. But you know, if I just sometimes I have to miss some fishing seasons and some parts the hunting season because of the work of the Lord.
Right.
Amen. But someone's got to go. Someone's got to leave home.
Sure.
Someone's got to go away from their comfortable surroundings and where they love to be. Amen. Because everyone loves home. But someone, for this great commission to be fulfilled, some people have to go. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary to China. And during his life, he had a goal to raise up over 1,000 missionaries. Toward the end of his life, he did that. But toward the first of his ministry, he had a consensus of the church with someone like that older gentleman that told me that after that missionary service in Alabama. In fact, in that day and time, it was unpopular to be a missionary because they believed that if God wanted to save the heathen, He'd save them Himself. Now, there couldn't be a concept more further from the truth than that, because that's not what the Bible tells us, but that's the way they felt in that day. And he ran against a brick wall when he went to raise support and to try to find volunteers to go with him, because the need was so great. That one man could not win China for God, and he knew it. He had to raise up more people because the field was too big. Whenever he went in Scotland, he was trying to raise up. He had one person, a one-legged school teacher, who volunteered for missionary service. He said, "Well, why do you want to go with your frailty? How can you get around?" He said, "Well," he said, "I don't see those with two legs volunteering, so I've got to." You know, there's a lot of people like that who really don't have the abilities, but they have the availability. And if we're available to God, God will use us. But how much more He wants to use the people with two legs?
Right.
Amen? I'm speaking with the tools and the abilities that we have. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. We're going to stand before God with the abilities that we have. Amen. What have we done with our life for the Lord? There's a work to be done. That someone has to go. For the Great Commission will be fulfilled as well, some must send those who go with support.
Right.
Verse 15 it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" There is no way for a missionary to go to the field without people behind him in support. Now, this is an humbling thing, but there's many times I've been in prayer in Guatemala and realized before God, as we pray, and we've got to go out that day and buy 100 pounds of beans, 100 pounds, every 12 days, we buy 100 pounds of beans, 100 pounds of rice, 100 pounds of sugar. Those are just the basics. Of course, besides that, we buy the vegetables and all the other meats and everything, but it's seriously, we are dependent upon God and upon the people who support the work. Because it would just go to a standstill. We couldn't continue the school if it wasn't for funds. And God is our main source of support. But He uses people to do it. Amen. So we are dependent upon God and upon the support of those who give to the work of God. I think of a retired school teacher's couple who for many years when Brother Smith was alive, the Milton Reeds up in Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan, who supported not out of their excess, but out of their need. That they supported. They gave a vehicle to CTH years ago, many times giving $1,000 offerings, but it's because of those sacrificial gifts that we was able to do the work then and that we're able to do the work of God now. In Korea, a traveling businessman reported sighting a boy pulling a plow that was steered by an old man. Upon inquiring with the local missionary about it, he found out that whenever they built the church in that local village, that the old man wanted to give something to the church, but he had no money. So he sold the only ox that he had, and then they pulled the plow themselves. Now that's a painful gift, isn't it? You can imagine just thinking of pulling a plow. Amen. And how it would be almost humanly impossible. But it's because of people even people who have nothing, have hardly anything because of their giving, that the work of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has gone forward. Amen. Because of sacrifice. Amen. Robert Arthington of England was a very wealthy man, but you would have never known it by the way he lived. On his deathbed, or actually during his life, he lived in a single room, cooked his own meals, gave his fortune to foreign missions on the condition that it would all be spent on pioneer missionary work within 25 years. On his deathbed, he wrote these words. He said, "Gladly would I make the floor my bed, a box my chair, and another box my table, rather than that men would perish without Christ." Now that man was a Methodist man.
Yes.
But he was a man who had a burden for souls. And we know the Methodist church was born in the fire. Most of us come from that movement.
Sure.
I get off on a rabbit trail myself. I was raised in the United Methodist Church, and of course it was a lot different. I wasn't saved till I was 17 years old. Went to a little Assemblies of God church down in East Texas. My granddad was a Methodist preacher 63 years, but things have changed. But we look back at Methodist history, and we look at John Wesley, a man who was full of the Holy Ghost, a man who brought about the doctrines of holiness and sanctification that you and I believe today. The greatest commentary that I know of, that I love to go to for commentary, is Adam Clark, an old-time Methodist preacher. But you see, it's not what banner we're under. It's what we are doing with Jesus Christ in our life that counts.
Right.
Amen. And then because of the sacrificial giving of a man like that is the reason that you and I have the gospel today. For the work of God to go forward, some must go, but there must be those who are willing to support those who go for the gospel to go around the world. Amen.
Amen.
Thirdly, I'd like to say that all of us must get involved. That's what I, from this scripture, what I see is a summary, that as a church, every member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ must get involved if this gospel is going to go around the world. Do you know this may be the one thing that's holding up the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, because there's some more that Jesus wants to bring into the fold before He comes back and destruction starts to rain upon this old earth. Amen? Judgment's about to come. I believe the Lord's about to come, but we need to get the gospel out. Amen. This gospel must be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. We need to get the gospel out, amen, in these last days to speed the return of our Lord Jesus Christ back. There's many people who don't believe, well, we don't have anything to do with it. I believe we have a lot to do with the things, amen, in the overall plan of God. Our obedience or our disobedience will mean many souls in the kingdom of God or many souls that die lost without Jesus Christ. It's said that 95% of all Christians have never won a soul to Jesus Christ. That's a sad indictment. But that shows us that the majority of Christians are not actively involved and have not fulfilled their role that God has them in missions. Amen. It's been said there's three kinds of missionaries. There's the go missionary, the co-missionary, and that's the supporter, and the no missionary, those who aren't involved at all. I hope there's none of those here. Amen. But we need to be involved and find our role, the role that God has us to fulfill. This may come hard to believe, but in 1993, while I was itinerating in southern Ohio, I went to a church, which after the service, a lady came up to my wife, touched her face, and said that she had never known there were still missionaries. She thought we was extinct creatures. She thought they only had missionaries years ago. She touched my wife's face, said, "I just got to touch you because I never seen a missionary before." I could not believe it. But you see, that pastor had failed in his responsibility to expose people to missions.
Sure.
That church wasn't very big either. I guess maybe that's one of the reasons. But I do believe that God will bless a mission-minded church when a church is not only concerned about its own building, about its own budget, but will give toward the work of world missions.
Right.
And will have an impact not only in their community, but around the world. Do you know when you give to missions, then you have a part, and God will bless you for the souls that are saved down in Guatemala, in Mexico, in El Salvador, and every other missionary that you support that's honoring God and doing the work of God. God will bless you for their labors, for the fruits of their labors, because if it wasn't for your support, they could not do the work.
Right.
Now, I'm telling you from a missionary's perspective. Amen. But that's the truth. We depend upon God and upon those who are supporting the work. A boy overheard his father praying for missions and the needs of various missionaries, and he said to him, he said, "Dad, I wish I had your money." He said, "Why, son, what would you do with it?" He said, "Well, Dad," he said, "I'd answer your prayers."
Well,
I think the little ones sometimes see some things that we overlook.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. But a lot of times we can do something and we don't realize, Amen. And I know the offering's already been taken, people. I'm not pushing for an offering. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you that God will bless you. God will bless you. And you have been faithful over the years and continue to be faithful till Jesus comes. And give more. Maybe if these examples I'm giving you of men who have sacrificed, if you see that maybe you need to sacrifice a little more, do it. And the gospel will get out. And I guarantee you, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be sorry. You will not be sorry for a penny that you gave to missions. You will not be sorry for anything you've given to the gospel going out around the world. Praise God. I'd like to close with a poem. It's called Sleeping in Harvest. Many people are sleeping in this time of harvest, but we need to get to work. We need to get up. We need to work while it's yet day and do our part. Amen. Too long I've lain me down to sleep and prayed the Lord my soul to keep. I should awake before I die and realize time is passing by. And rise and go and tell the lost, despite my plans, despite the cost. Too long I've lain me down to sleep, while multitudes about me sleep, and utter cries of dark despair, for no one ever seems to care. My life is short, and soon I'll stand with sinner's blood upon my hands, unless I wake before I die and realize time is passing by. Amen. What we're going to do for the Lord, we need to do it now. We need to wake up. We don't need to waste time. Amen. God hadn't called everyone to go to another country to preach the gospel, but you, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. You know whether God has called you. There may be a young person here that God is calling to the mission field. Amen. Listen and obey the voice of God, because God will bless you in the first part of it. Yes, you're sacrificing, but I'm going to tell you, you will reap a reward. This year in Guatemala, I want to tell you the truth. You know, I would have liked to have been home with my mom and different ones for my 35th birthday. By the way, I still feel like I'm a young fella, even though they tell me I'm not.
You are.
But I am a young man. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. But I want to tell you something. Even though I was there,
amen,
that I enjoyed the best birthday I ever had. I had at 6 o'clock in the morning a whole group of young people. I want to tell you. 30-plus young people outside my window singing happy birthday to me. Okay? Around 10 o'clock, then they had another party for me. In the evening, the girls from the girls' dorm brought me a whole thing of ceviches, which is shrimp, and it's a native dish in Guatemala, but I love it. And I just couldn't hardly stand it. They treat me so good. I've never been treated so good in my life. But you know what? It's because I've invested my life in those people, and they love me. God will bring it around, people, if we give to the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, don't be afraid of the will of God, because God will bless your life and you will have it in it. Don't feel sorry for me. Amen. I'm under the spout. I'm enjoying the glory of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord. Amen. God has blessed me. Praise God. And I'm so excited about what the Lord has in the future for us. But let's obey the Lord and let's do what God has us to do. He hadn't called everyone in the mission field, but do what you can for missions. Amen. I'm just so thankful to the Lord and thankful for the opportunity we had to share with you about what God is doing down in Guatemala. And I want to encourage your heart. You know, it's just like a water to a thirsty soul is good news from a far country. Maybe you needed that this morning to realize that God is working and He's still doing a work. Through the ministry that Brother Smith established, that God is still doing a work. Amen. And there are souls being saved. Today, this afternoon, there will be another group going out in Guatemala City to win souls for Jesus. Amen. And Brother Stoker's down there. Just continue prayer for him. But I appreciate so much. At this time, I'm going to give the service back to Brother Collins. God bless you. Appreciate you.